Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of Ethos Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Saboo, MD and CEO, Ethos Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the Ethos Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. I hope everyone had a chance to view our financial results and investor presentation, which were recently posted on the company's website and stock exchanges. I am accompanied by our CFO, Mr. Munish Gupta, and our COO, Mr. Mukul Khanna, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. Let me start directly with our performance. For Q2 FY25 versus Q2 FY24, revenue from operations is up 26.3% to rupees 297.1 crores in Q2 FY25 as compared to rupees 235.2 crores in Q2 FY24. Revenue from exclusive brands stood at 31% of the total revenue in Q2 FY25. Billing of CPO stood at 23 crores in Q2 FY25. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 16.1% year-on-year to rupees 48.2 crores in Q2 FY25 as compared to rupees 41.5 crores in Q2 FY24. EBITDA margin stood at 15.9% in Q2 FY25. PAT grew by 14% to rupees 21.2 crores in Q2 FY25 as compared to 18.6 crores in Q2 FY24. PAT margin stood at 7%. For H1 FY25 versus H1 FY24, revenue from operations is up by 22.6% to rupees 570.4 crores in H1 FY25 as compared to rupees 465.2 crores in H1 FY24. EBITDA grew by 22.2% year-on-year to rupees 98 crores in H1 FY25 as compared to rupees 80 crores in H1 FY24. EBITDA margin stood at 16.8% in H1 FY25 as compared to 16.9% in H1 FY24. EBITDA margin impacted due to an additional cost in H1 FY25 attributable to the following: forex fluctuation, increased manpower for new store additions, rental for new stores which are in the nascent stages of sales. PAT grew by 19.9% to rupees 44 crores in H1 FY25 as compared to rupees 36.7 crores in H1 FY24. Inventory days as on 30th September stood at 177 days. Cash and bank balance stood at rupees 271.4 crores as of 30th September 2024. Our ASP for H1 FY25 stood at 215,952 rupees as compared to 1.87 lakhs in H1 FY24. Share of luxury and high luxury watches for H1 FY25 stood at an all-time high. The first half of FY25 was marked by several challenges, starting with the extreme heat waves that led to more customers spending time outside of India extending their holidays. The general election resulted in slower cash movements, while heavy rainfall in certain areas, fewer walk-ins, and a decline in weddings were key challenges that were faced. Logistical challenges also arose due to natural calamities and extreme weather in Switzerland in June. The Shradh period was also a mismatch in quarter two. All of these factors significantly impacted our business activities. Despite these obstacles, we achieved revenue growth of 22.6% in H1 FY25, reaching rupees 570.4 crores compared to H1 FY24. Our overall volume increased by 17% in Q2 FY25 and 5% in H1 FY25 on a YOY basis. Our average selling price rose to 2.16 lakhs from rupees 1.87 lakhs in the first half. Further, we are optimistic about the third quarter, which includes major festive events and an increase in weddings. Traditionally, this period brings a surge in consumer spendings and early signs are already encouraging. In October, we had a record month with a 47% year-on-year growth. Looking ahead, we are confident that the festive season and heightened wedding activities in quarter three, paired with our continuous efforts in operational excellence and customer engagement, will drive robust results. Additionally, our same-store growth for the first half of FY25 demonstrates strong progress, reaching 15.5% in H1 FY25. Let's now discuss some factors around quarter two. It is also worth noting that the Shraddh period, as I mentioned, which typically affects business activities, occurred in quarter two this year as compared to quarter three. This improvement signals the effectiveness of our strategies and lays strong foundation for the growth. During the quarter, we experienced significant fluctuations in foreign exchange, particularly with the INR against the CHF. This movement had a notable impact on our financial results, resulting in a forex loss of approximately 4.65 crores. Excluding the forex fluctuation, our actual EBITDA for Q2 would be 52.9 crores with a growth of 27.4% YOY, and for H1 it would be 102.7 crores with a growth of 28.1% YOY and margins of 17.5% and 17.6% respectively. Similarly, PAT would have grown by 32.7% in the quarter and to INR 24.7 crores in the quarter. Also, this performance has come in despite a far greater number of renovations taking place in quarter two than normal. The number of boutiques under full renovation represent 20% of our business. We had accelerated the renovations in preparations for many large brands that want to enter India in the next year and the coming years. At the beginning of the year, we announced our plan to add 20 new stores by FY25. We are pleased to report that from April 2024 to present time, we have successfully opened 12 stores with a total capital outlay of rupees 35 crores. Looking ahead, we are actively working on adding 13 more stores before the end of FY25. This expansion aligns with our growth strategy and commitment to increasing our market presence. Each new store is carefully selected based on market potential and consumer demand, ensuring that we continue to meet the needs of our clients effectively. We are excited about the opportunities these expansions will bring and remain dedicated to delivering quality service in every location that we open. Regarding our brand partnerships, we are pleased to announce that since April 2024, we have signed exclusive agreements with three more brands, which are ID Genève, Singer Reimagine, and Hautelange. These partnerships reflect our commitment to curating diverse luxury watch brands and bringing these luxury watch brands to India that resonate with our customers and enhance our product offerings. Ethos has become the preferred partner for many international brands looking to establish a foothold in India, reflecting our dedication to quality, reliability, and market expertise. Our team proactively communicates with these brands to cultivate solid partnerships and strategically expand our portfolio. Through these collaborations, we aim to bring a broader selection of world-class luxury brands to our valued clientele, enhancing the diversity and sophistication of our offerings. We look forward to sharing more details about these upcoming partnerships in the near future. We are delighted to announce that our progress on our inaugural Messika Jewelry Boutique at Chanakya Mall, Delhi is well underway. Currently in the setup phase, the boutique is on track to open its doors by January or February of 2025. This new boutique promises a refined and immersive experience, highlighting Messika's exceptional craftsmanship and exquisite design collection. We are excited also to hear about the successful global launch of our Luba in Geneva on August 29, 2024. Ethos has entered into the long-term exclusive agreement with our Luba for India, and we will be proud to bring the brand into our brand portfolio. In our pre-owned segment, the certified pre-owned business, which is Second Movement, it has experienced a 25% year-on-year growth, reaching billings of rupees 43 crores in H1 FY25. As a part of our strategy, we are focusing on acquiring more high-value watches on a consignment basis and receiving a tremendous response. Customers increasingly recognize the value of purchasing from an organized and trusted source. We are actively working to expand this segment, and we anticipate good traction moving forward. Thank you. And now I open the floor to questions and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star in one. The first question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi Pranav. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations on a strong H1 and even stronger start to the festive. My best wishes for the remaining wedding and festive season as well. Pranav, there has been a recommendation of this potential increase in GST by a group of ministers. The decision, though seemingly hard to understand for several reasons, but my first set of questions is to better understand few things here. So currently, my checks are suggesting that India pricing is currently 5 to 7% cheaper versus global destinations, partly because the Swiss franc has appreciated versus the INR, and the corresponding MRP increases are yet to be revised. So what is the extent of price increase that we're expecting at the start of next calendar year versus the revision to, say, 99 or whatever the current conversion rate is there?
Do you want to ask your second question as well?
Sure. So I understand it is a difficult projection as of now, but typically, what is the elasticity of demand to such price increases in case there is a historical precedent to this? And thirdly, brands also have significant benefits from this free trade agreement that India has sort of signed, right? So is there any willingness to sort of partially allocate some of those savings to keep the India pricing comparable in case this GST increase sort of actually fructifies?
Okay. So I think the first question, they're all sort of related questions, so let me try and answer as much as I can. First of all, currently the India pricing is a little bit lower. It's become a little bit lower because of the exchange rate, and traditionally also India has always been priced aggressively. However, even in brands that are priced a little bit higher, we don't see much of a challenge right now in terms of sales coming through. But right now, price increase will happen, if and when it happens, will happen on two accounts. One is if there is further forex movement, then that will be priced on, but that will always be happening. If the forex moves, ultimately the price will adjust to the foreign exchange. If foreign exchange is stable and the GST increases, the revenue neutral price increase is likely to be 8%. I don't think that brands will take a full 8% increase in price if that comes. I don't think it's required as well. Anyways, the consumer offers now in India are much higher than the rest of the world. It can be lowered. I don't see a major impact in our sales up to $50,000. Apart from $50,000, we will also have options that we are in discussion with the brand should the GST come in. Now, will the EFTA benefits be passed on? Of course, they will be passed on. They will be. Everybody wants to take India very, very seriously right now. Everyone is very bullish about the India market. I don't think the GST is a big dampener if it comes. And again, I want to highlight this is the fact that we are in discussion with we're in discussion. The right representatives of the government to also give our views on how it can be beneficial for the country to have a lower tax rate as it will increase tax revenues in the future if and when it comes. I don't want to discuss more on this matter because it's not really out yet. It's just a group of ministers that have passed it on. Let's see when and if and when it comes.
Fair enough, Pranav. Thanks for the elaborate answer. I just wanted to check currently our inventory is at what levels of CHF to INR conversion?
I don't see. It's a lot of different brands, right? So it's there's no one fixed rate as such because it's a basket of 60 brands. So I don't have that answer in a ready format. But realistically, you can go on the websites and see it's roughly just 1 or 2, maybe 3 or 4% lower on average. This is, I'm just giving an average figure. There are many brands that are higher as well that don't even need that increase because the margin is already coming up higher than what is required.
Understood, Karak. Second, I wanted to also sort of understand, we have so far till October, I guess, opened 12 stores, right, on a gross basis.
That is correct.
Yeah, so the inventory and capex together is about 135 odd crores, right? So that amounts to about 11 crore if my calculation is right. So is it like in existing stores also some of these investments have been made or this 135 is entirely for these 12 new stores?
No, it's also the inclusion of new brands that were signed on in the last year going into more brands, like a brand like Ulysse Nardin would have, which we signed last year, would have been only 2 stores is going into new stores, is going into new existing stores as a new brand. We've launched with Tudor now. Tudor, we are going to be with more points of sale, so that's going to be more points of sale that will open up for that means more brands coming into existing points of sale. So it's not all into new stores.
Okay, so that our initial guidance.
Why don't you join back into the line because otherwise we would, from a time perspective it's you know my request is if everyone can ask limit it to 2 or 3 questions at max. And then come back into the line because I'm getting messages from the coordinators that we need to follow that format. Yeah, thanks, Devanshu.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is from the line of Yash from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes. Hi, Yash. Good evening.
Just on the initial commentary, I wanted to confirm that you've seen October month, you saw 47% growth, one.
That is correct.
Okay, so that's, it seems that you have a good momentum already. And how do you feel November and December will go through? Are you seeing more demand?
Look, I don't want to give those comments right now. I don't want to go into a monthly thing. All I can say is October was great. We feel confident about the future.
Sure. And so just again on the GST, the tax hike that we've had, I mean, what are the comments from the brand owner's perspective? I just wanted to check, you said something about up to 8% price hike. I wanted to get some clarification on that.
I think the comment from brands is that India will remain a focus for the future, and we have to figure out a way on this GST increase. The 8.5% is that if you want to remain at the revenue, at the same revenue, right, net of taxes, you need to take a 8.5% price increase. But you don't need to necessarily take a 8.5% price increase. It can be a 5% price increase and a 3.5% decrease in discount, or 3.5% borne by the brand. So there are many combinations that are available. At this point of time, I don't, you know, this is all hypothetical talk, so I'm not entertaining too much talk on this, because when it happens, if it happens, then we will see and we will find a way. I remain confident of the ability of our management to be able to steer the company through this without changing our vision, without changing our 10-year vision.
Sure, got it. So that's very clear. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, Yash.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thank you for taking my question. Firstly, I want to understand a bit about this Forex impact. So can you explain this 4.65 CR that we have booked in Q2, where it's sitting exactly? Is it in other expenses or mostly in the cost of goods?
It will be in cost of goods and vendor margin that you will see the impact.
So Ankush, just to update on that, so there are two parts. One is where we have got the credit, so it's getting settled in July to September period. And secondly, whatever payment we made during this quarter. So 2.34 is in the exchange fluctuation, and the balance is in the cost of goods sold.
Okay. So 2 point something that you said, it is in other expenses, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Just one more clarification over here. The other expense bit has increased Q1Q from say about 31.5 CR to 39 CR. So what explains this sharp jump? I mean, some bit of it is obviously rent, but other than that, was there something else during this quarter?
So Ankush, as Pranam mentioned in the earning call, this year we have added 12 boutiques. As of these boutiques are at advanced, we have just opened, the revenue will pick up over the period. So there is additional expenses on account of manpower and rental.
Okay. The next question I want to ask Pranam is, do you think that the benefit of FTA and custom duty cut would flow into higher margins in H2, or do you think a more realistic outcome would be that we would see benefit of the same flowing into gross margins from next year onwards?
EFTA hasn't yet started, so EFTA will start in the next year. It's not going to start this year.
Okay, so next year is where we would see that first impact.
That is correct.
Got it. And just last clarification.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Agarwal. So may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinamra Hirawat from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes. Please proceed.
Yeah, so congrats on a good set of numbers. You have guided for 13 more stores before the end of the year to be opened. Looking to FY26 and beyond, now that we have stores in most of the large cities, multiple stores in some cities, are we still seeing the same type of, 2025 store openings as we expect to see in FY25?
The opportunity definitely exists for that. It's within our, there's a lot more that goes into just the location and the potential. We have to have enough manpower. The brands have to be tied in. Because they are multi-brand stores, each store takes in 20 brands. It takes time to bring it in. But is there an opportunity in the next 5 years to open 20 stores a year? Yes.
Got it. And, I had a question on market share. Is there any data you have as to, you know, what's the market share of Ethos in the luxury watch market in India? And
I
how
have no data. I have no factual data on this, no.
Okay. And how are we insulating ourselves, you know, from new or unorganized luxury watch sellers?
I think we are authorized and they are not authorized. That's the first one. And, you know, I think the difference is in several things. I don't want to go into the difference with between unauthorized. I think our customers come to us because
Sorry,
we are...
I said unorganized. Luxury watch sellers or new authorized watch sellers in the country?
I'm going to ask Mukul, our chief operating officer, to be able to answer that question. He can do a better job than I can for that answer.
Thanks. So I think there are multiple differences between organized player and unorganized player. I think our strength lies in A, they have to get in terms of giving a customer a single experience across the country. So he can walk into any of our stores with any of the brands we represent and get servicing done across the country, A. B, we are also able to sell a variety of brands which we stock, which nobody else has got in the country. C, we've got a very potent and significant marketing muscle which operates only if we have got scale. That works to our advantage. We've got 250K nearly Instagram followers. We get around 60K visitors to our website. All of those help in terms of building out our entire differentiation with us, right? Beyond that, we've got our entire customer service team. We've got a concierge service. So there are a bunch of differentiators which play towards why a customer chooses Ethos as his first and primary choice when it comes to buying a luxury watch.
Okay, so that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kalpit Narvekar from EFG Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I guess it's partly answered before, but just to kind of get some color on this. So essentially the duties that the government is talking about from 18% to 28%, right, which is a 10% kind of impact. So just on two points, right? One is from a demand elasticity perspective, the people who buy the luxury watches, etc. I mean, does it really impact if you cannot straight up pass through these hikes from a demand elasticity perspective? And the second thing is also there was kind of potential of margin expansion from this Swiss duty cuts, right, over the medium term. But it seems like at least a part of that margin expansion will be reversed because of this duty GST hike, right? So what are your thoughts on these two?
I think that, look, the GST matter, I think it's better that we comment if and when it happens. I think elasticity and inelasticity of luxury products, I think, is well known. I don't want to comment on what will happen, what could happen, if and when it happens, we will see what happens. I know the strength of our management lies in its resilience, and we have always been able to work through regulatory changes and add value for all our stakeholders. I think we are in discussion with the regulators, with the government. And when and if it happens, we'll talk about it then. In terms of EFTA, I think the EFTA is a groundbreaking agreement. It will reduce customs duty, and it will impact our bottom line in a positive manner. It will open up the market for Switzerland, and I do not believe that our vision will change or our long-term goals will change due to any of the changes that perhaps may be spoken about.
Great, thanks. And one more question from my side, right? So you spoke about like October being very strong. Is it like 40% plus or something global? So like, are you seeing this growth like driven by more from SSG pickup? Like, has the SSG 15% been picked up in the come, and do you expect that to kind of continue in the second half and FY 2026, like SSG pickup potentially?
Look, I think that all I want to say is that October was a great month. We grew by 47%. H1, it was 15%. The volumes are fantastic. The mix of growth, the quality of growth is fantastic. I'm happy with the direction that we're taking. I don't want to go into what will happen in November and December and Jan. I've already mentioned what's happened in the past. I think it's, and that's the best way to leave it over there.
No, great. Thanks so much. Congratulations on a great quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Madam and team. Thanks for taking
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah. Sir, your audio is sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir, much better. Please proceed. Thank
you. Thank you. Hi, Pranav and team. Thanks for taking my question. So, Pranav, just wanted to know the progress on Rimowa, right? And where do we see this probably this vertical growing in, let's say, over the next 3 to 5 years there? And also in this space, right, of this luxury lifestyle detailing, we have Rimowa and Messika. And I mean, if you could talk about the progress or the steps you are taking to kind of ensure or to get more brands, right? So as in, what is the process and how long is the gestation period or the negotiations with the brand, and what kind of segments, you know, are we focusing on, right, going ahead, let's say, over the next 3 to 5 years? So your comments on that is that. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Rimowa, as you know, we're just about celebrating 1 year of us opening the boutique. It's been a fabulous experience. It's the first time that we did a boutique outside watches. It's one of our most profitable boutiques. We are going to be expanding that business. In my opinion, over the next 5 years, we are going to at least target an 8 to 10x increase in the business of just Rimowa itself. We have more brands in the luxury luggage category also coming in the future. Perhaps they're not as well known as Rimowa, but in the next quarter we will be announcing a few of those as well. In terms of Messika, as you know, we had earlier a boutique. We had no boutique. It was a part of one store, one watch boutique that we did as little pop-up inside it. It was incredibly, we had incredible results, very encouraging, and that's when we've decided to go into a full boutique. The full boutique launch will take place in February. I am sure it will be a flying success, and we hope to open 8 to 10 boutiques more of Messika in the next 5 years. This requires us to create the first proof of concept, and then our real estate team needs to work very closely with the team in Paris to ensure that they have the right locations and that both Messika and Ethos also feel comfortable in opening these boutiques. But I am confident that our entry into the international jewelry sector, which will happen in February, will be a flying success and will open several doors for us in the future. As you know, the size of the jewelry business is significant, and it's something that we want to take small but calculated and yet steady steps into. Talking about other brands, we are in discussion with large marquee brands. I will be traveling in this quarter again in Europe to have further discussions. These brands typically have 12 to 15 month let's say gestation periods before boutiques are opened. Those discussions have now started. They are into the high luxury segment, both fashion and accessories. They're some of the greatest brands that have been built in luxury. I do not want to take names into it, but it is something that we are working towards building it up. Whether it will happen, when it will happen, we don't know yet. These are, I don't want to give any firm dates until we have contracts signed. All I can say is that we are working steadily towards bringing marquee brands into India. And our view has been that we know the luxury customer, we know the luxury brands, we know the stakeholders in luxury, and we believe we can do a fine job in bringing luxury brands and serving the aspiration of the Indian customer.
Got it, Pranav. And just one follow-up there. In terms of team, right? One is the watches business, one is so CTO, that's a part of
watches. I can't hear you. It's sounding as if you're mumbling, so you'll need to be closer into the phone.
Oh, okay. Sure. Am I audible now properly?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Yeah. So just a follow-up there, Pranav, basically in terms of team, right? Now that probably we are expanding in this luxury lifestyle retail as well, apart from watches in Remova, Mexica and other brands as well. How do you think about developing a team there separately? Because again, we are in incubation phase, talking to many brands there. So how is that in place there?
I think, look, any diversification, whether it is, even though it is connected with a luxury theme, it requires, of course, to do a good job, it requires the best team. And I'm sure we'll be able to integrate and add to our existing team to be able to build that structure out. Of course, we are thinking about how we are going to structure this in terms of manpower, in terms of reporting, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that those are discussions that are internal and we'll be able to solve it. We'll be able to solve for it just as we have for Remova and Messika. As more brands continue to come in, we will continue to strengthen both the HR structure and all the infrastructure around it to be able to ensure that we make the lifestyle division a flying success.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Invesco Asset Management. Please go ahead.
I just have two questions. First one was, how is, let's say, the traction for Pavle Lua and what is the go-to-market plan now with this? Are there certain benchmarks or, let's say, timelines one should think, let's say, X number of doors by the end of this year? Just in terms of go-to-market and, how is the initial acceptance or reactions? That'll be helpful.
So, Favaluba hasn't launched in India yet. Favaluba has launched globally. The Silver City team informed me that it was a flying success in Geneva. They said that they have interest from around the world. The manufacturing is taking place. Remember that in Geneva, it was a product showcase. So we were showing the Silver City team was showing the Silver City and the Favaluba team was showing the watches to media and to possible potential partners around the world. These potential partnerships are taking place as we speak. The launch in India will be in January. On 10th of January, there will be a launch at the Swiss Embassy. On 11th of January is another launch with at the Formula One circuit, celebrating motor cars and the association of Favaluba with it. And we have from 12th of January onwards, the Favaluba watches will be available across 40 boutiques in India, along with a strong digital marketing campaign, which will start at that time.
So, any sense on how is the broader acceptance? Or let's say, I'm not sure if the pricing which was shown at the Geneva show. I'm just trying to think about how is the product acceptance and pricing of the product being accepted at the levels, just in terms of the brand and channel partners acceptance. Just any thoughts around that?
I mean, what I can tell you is that there's already pre-orders, which is for January taking place. We already have pre-orders of more than 100,000 Swiss francs already at zero discounts. There is retail acceptance from around the world. Retailers are accepting it. There is the common theme is great value for money, great designs, great heritage. And I feel confident that the Silver City and the Favaluba team in Switzerland will do a very good job of establishing the brand. It's why we are proud to be taking the brand into Ethos as well.
Okay. And just one small clarity.
May we request that you return to the question?
Let's just do this last question and then we can. Manish,
sure.
Please go on. Yeah.
Yeah. So have you started keeping jewelry in the Ethos store also? Just some clarity. I thought seeing one of the.
It was a pop-up that we did to check the do a dipstick and check how it's performing. We did that with Messika in one of our boutiques, and we did it with Bulgari in our boutique in Hyderabad. So it's only two boutiques that we tried it in.
How is the feedback? Are you still going?
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. But we will go into boutiques. We want to focus on jewelry through a jewelry boutique. Later in the future, we may return to that, but right now it is that we want to establish boutiques first.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the return on capital employed. As we expand more and more into tier 2 cities, I believe the sales throughput in stores in tier 2 won't...
Mr. Parekh, there's a lot of background disturbance from your...
Sorry, we are not able to hear you because there's just too much noise from the back.
Is it better?
Hello? Yes, it's better now.
Okay, so my first question was on the return on capital employed. As we expand more into tier 2 cities, I believe the sales throughput won't be similar to what we see in tier 1 cities basically. So is there a differential between the return on capital employed at the stores in tier 1 versus tier 2 cities?
We don't really see too much of a difference right now. The capital requirements and the expenses are lower in tier 2 cities, but so is the sale is also taking time. So it's hard to say right now, but ultimately I believe it will equalize and roughly be the same.
Okay. And second and last question, again on the stores opening in tier 2 cities, like how do we ensure the quality of servicing remains consistent as we expand further into tier 2 city? What are some of the steps possibly which company is taking to maintain the service quality?
Mukul, the Chief Operating Officer, will take this question.
Hi, I think the first thing which we're doing is obviously all of them are... run by company personnel. We've got a 15-day intensive program in which each and every new employee goes through a 15-day intensive training program, post which we've got a certification program. We've got four levels of certification which happen over the employee's tenure in the company. So this is something which all our frontline members go through. Besides that, we've got standardized templates for our stores in terms of the way the look and feel is. We've got central teams which manage that. We've got central call centers to manage any customer complaints. So all in all, this ensures that we've got a standardized experience for our customer.
Okay, great. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Mondal from RK Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is on second-hand segment. So what is the growth in this quarter? And if you brief me about share in the revenue of second-hand quarter. Second-hand segment in the revenue.
Just give us a moment to take out the numbers. We had the numbers for H1 with 33%. For the YTD number is 33.6% growth in the pre-owned sector, and it represents. Just wait a second.
So in April to September, first half of the year, the overall revenue touched 43 crore, or billing of 43 crore against 32 crore in the same year-on-year basis. The overall growth is 33%. And as Prana mentioned in the call, it's picking up very well, and we are forcing 20% growth in the projected year also.
Okay.
in the remaining year.
Okay, thank you. So my next question is the median selling price close to average selling price, or it is lower? And another one, if you give some color on the management expected SSG for next 2-3 years.
I think our, as I mentioned, our SSG has been 15% in the last, 15.5% in the last 6 months. We have our goal of getting our overall revenue up, and our overall business was 10 times in 10 years. I think it will be a healthy mix of same store growth and new store addition.
And what about the, I asked about median selling price. So is it close to average selling price or it is lower?
I don't have that piece of data right now. I think we'll have to circle back to that. I know our average selling price has been, what's our average selling price is 2.15 lakhs. I don't have the median. I don't have the median right now, but it's going to be lower.
So average selling price grew from 1.87 lakh to 2.16 lakh in H1.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Just a clarification. So we added 5 stores during the quarter. And did we close any stores this quarter or the 2 stores closed in October? Hello.
How many store additions was that? It's been
5 stores in Q2, right? Gross.
We've added 12 stores in H1, and
yeah,
it's...
I was trying to understand the store count as of Q2 end.
So last year we closed at 62 stores, and in Q1 we added 3 stores, Q2 5 stores, so total store is 70, and out of which 2 stores are closed in this quarter, in Q2, and as of now the total store count is 72. In October we opened 4 stores.
And the 2 that are shut down, they're not shut down. They have been combined, 3 stores have been combined into 1 store. So therefore the store count will come down, but the overall revenue will increase in this case. We are combining 3 different boutiques into 1 boutique in a location. This is under renovation right now. Hello?
Mr. Agarwal, are you done with your question?
Yes.
There seems to be no response from the current participant. We'll move on to the next question, and that will be our last question from the line of Yash from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you again for the opportunity. Just one question. So irrespective of the fact that, you know, we get the tax hike or not, we will be able to maintain our gross margins at 30%?
Sorry, irrespective of what?
Of the GST price hike, I mean, you said that, you know, it's still uncertain. I mean, we don't know how it's going to play out, but I just wanted to understand if the gross margins of your company can be maintained at 30%.
I do believe that, again, as I mentioned, I don't want to go into something that is, you know, when and if it happens, I'm sure our management will make sure that our 10-year vision doesn't change. I can't comment about what will happen in a quarter or 2 quarters. Overall, yes, I think we will be able to maintain and grow those margins.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your time today. I trust we've addressed all your questions thoroughly. Moving forward, we will be hosting our earnings conferences half-yearly. Should you need any additional information or clarification about the company, please contact the SGA team, our investor relationships advisors. Thank you very much for being on the call today.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ethos Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.